Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word has given us instructions for life. And God, the first thing I think about when I read today's verses is, I wish my parents would have known this stuff, and I wish I'd have known this stuff earlier. So God, for those that are here that are going to feel kind of like they're behind the curve, God, comfort their hearts now, but more for those that are here and they're ahead of the curve and they're ready to learn and grow and change. God, please, may your spirit fall upon them and baptize them for instruction on what your word, not what my word, but what your word says about raising children. Please, God, be with us today. We need your word. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 6, the book of Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Give me your attention. That is the verse we will camp on. That is the only thing we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 6. But I want to bring your attention to two words, training and admonition. Just like I illustrated last week, I will illustrate again this week. Listen to me, please. When your spirit starts to rise up and your blood begins to boil because I start to say things that you either don't agree with or don't understand, I ask you to give me a little quarter. I ask you to give me a little space to finish the study, because I promise you, what I tell you today will revolutionize your life with your kids, will raise your kids in the right manner, and it will work better than anything else when it comes to your ability to cope with, to deal with, to raise your children. I'm giving you instruction today. It's not my opinion, it's God's word. I haven't received it and applied it all. I don't know this, I'm not condescending. I have kids, 6 children. Me and my wife have been together since we're teenagers, and all my kids at this point in time are walking and loving the Lord. And as I said last week, I take no credit for that. That is solely God's grace and mercy upon us. No credit. But here's what I will take credit. That me and my wife have done our best to apply these principles in the Word of God to our lives as parents. And that's the only thing that's been any value, any fruit. You with me on that? Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Training is the physical, admonition is the verbal. The first thing you do when you have a child, if you were not here last week, I highly suggest you get the tape. I rarely ever say that because I don't want to tell you, yes, you should listen to me talk. That's not the point. The point is I expound on the word, all the scriptures given on how, why, and when to spank your child when needed. The training is the spanking. The training is the work that you put in with your hands. Admonition is the work you put in with your mouth. And there is this weird... Now, I just sense that because there were a lot of folks here that weren't here last week, we talked about spanking. And I will, you know what? I'm going to do that. Let me explain to you what spanking is in the Bible. Let me explain to you what spanking is in my house. It's not probably what you grew up with. What I grew up with is I push my parents' buttons, push my parents' buttons, push, shut up, be quiet, shut up, be quiet. And then when they couldn't take it anymore, bagada, crack across the mouth, crack across the head. My mother, she was 5'2", and she was quite nasty with a broom handle. And if you didn't duck quickly, you would catch it across the head. That's how we grew up. We didn't think nothing of it. That's how it was supposed to be. We grew up. I know some of you guys from a Haitian background. You know what Haitians use? Cords. They get the cord from the iron. They wrap that around their hand. They start swinging that thing around. Am I lying, Haitian folk? I know some of you guys that, Southerners. You boy, girl, you go out in the backyard, get yourself a switch off the tree. You go pick your own switch too. And they go and break a little branch off the tree. Mama, dad, or grandma, or grandpa, take that switch and put that on your back until you straighten yourself up. Called a switch. Rose bush. What did you feed him this morning? This is like the seventh comment he's made. You never got hit. Your mama never hit you with no rose bush. You're going to tell me your mama took a thorn bush and whacked you with it.
I had to pick it.
Ooh. I'm calling him on that one. Calling his BS on that one. But let me explain to you what real biblical proper spanking of your child is. We illustrated it with my daughter. I don't want to embarrass her again by calling her up here. But when my child does something wrong, now here's the big question we're going to say. What is something wrong? What deserves a spanking? We talked about the five D's. There was disobedience. There was disrespect. There was direct defiance. And there was danger. Your kid goes to put something in the socket, the electrical socket. What are you going to say? Don't do that. No, no, be nice. No, you give that hand a good old flick, and they get the point. We talked about how in my home, hands were not for spanking. Hands were for loving. Hands were for protection. That's why we had a wooden spoon. We had, at one point, we had something called the Board of Education. And it was a wooden board, and we drilled holes in it for less air resistance. And when you sting that butt, you get that booty right above the thigh, right below the cheek, right in there where it hurts maximum. You don't spank unless you make it hurt, unless you're going to make that child weep. There is no pain. The Bible says, we looked at all the verses last week, he who hates his son will ignore him, will not discipline him. But he who loves his son disciplines him promptly. You take the child. Now, what age do you start? For some, it's 2. Some, it's 3. Some, you never, like we had one child that really, she was so compliant and good, we never had to spank, but we spanked her just because the Bible said, we have to spank you. And I don't mean that we spanked her for nothing. I meant was, for some of the things one of our children did, she wouldn't get spanked because we'd be spanking her all the time. That's the same thing we had to spank this other one for because she would never do the one things that the other kid did. Now, and they always found that this, why does she get away with this and I don't get away with this? Listen, there's no easy thing here. I wish I could sit there, well, here's how this works. It doesn't. You have to be spirit-led. And more important than any of that stuff, here's where you spank your child. Not here. Here. You take your child and you say, now, one of the things that you did, the reason you're getting spanked, is because you hit your sister. You know, we don't hit. Did you ever see me hit mommy? Did you ever see? Does anybody around here hit? I don't know where you learned that. I don't know if one of your friends in school teaches you. I don't know if you saw it on Bugs Bunny did it to Daffy Duck and you thought that was funny. Here, you're going to get spanked now. And I would only do this because I love you. So, because the Bible says that I don't love you if I don't spank you, I'm going to now show you the fullest extent of my love. You take the child, and you lean her facing downward, or him, against your leg, and you take that, spot, and you hit her hard. Don't let her do it. She won't hurt them. And then as soon as the child starts crying, you grab her in your arms or him in your arms. I'm sorry, but you know I had to do that. I love you. You pray with the child. And then you tell them, now it's over. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God removed our transgression from us. And now with this spanking, it's over. We're not going to extend it longer. We're not going to. It's gone now. It's over. Now. Somebody asked about grace. When do you teach your kid about grace? We do it at the same time. Sometimes we take them in the room, we go through the whole thing, we have the kid on your leg, and we go, today you learn about grace. And they go, what's that? When you don't get what you do deserve, and you put it down and say, and then you use that as a teaching opportunity. Just like God doesn't punish us for our sins, now we are not going to punish you for yours. You're going to learn about what grace is. Now here's the problem. Then they start asking, can we do grace today? Can we do grace today? Can we do grace? No, you can't. If you do grace more than once every 10 times, then you lose the whole idea of teaching them that. Now, why is this important? Guys, please. If you spank your kid in a cultural sense, again, whether it's Italian-American, whether it's Haitian-American, whether it's Surinamese-American, whatever it is, oh, Suriname. Suriname in the house. If you spank them with that, then you've gone away from what the word says. You're going away from what is, maybe it might be culturally acceptable in some places, but you are not teaching your child anything except when you get angry, you get violent. And if that's what you want to teach your kids and project that to the next, why are you sitting down if you got something to say, woman?
I always say we're ultimately trying to teach our kids self-control, so which is a fruit of the Spirit. So if we're out of control when we're parenting, whether it's with our voice or in spanking, like Ryan's saying, we're not modeling the self-control that we're trying to teach them, so it's kind of counterproductive to what we're trying to teach our kids. So I always remember that when I'm talking to my kids.
Remember, please, that the whole idea of spanking your children is number one, and this is most important, is sticking to what the Word of God says, but you're teaching them that There must be a consequence for bad action. The consequence can't be your... What is the reason that you would spank your kids? So you said the D's, but give me an example, some people would say. Listen, if your kids are running around the church and an adult says to them, hey boy, come here, and they turn their heel and run away, that's called direct defiance. That is punishable by spanking. If you cannot tell your kid to come and go, that is dangerous. It's defiance. You cannot allow your children. And here's what we used to say to them. That's what I say to my son all the time. I used to say, hey, boy, you're a Gitman. You know what that means? You represent me. When you represent me, you represent well. Because the same thing that God says to us, hey, boy, hey, daughter, you're a Christian. That means the name of Christ is on you, and you're to represent me well on the earth. Now, I remember the first time I heard that, it was Chet Lowe that told me that he told his kids that, and I thought, well, that's pretty heavy. And he said, no, it's not pretty heavy. It's pretty real. If you want people to think less of you, let your children be disrespectful, dishonest, disobedient in front of everybody else. Oh, yeah, That's the couple that has those crazy kids. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the guy. That's the girl. That's the single mom that has those disobedient kids. And you become identified with your kid instead of your kid being identified by your name. You walk up to one of my kids, and I say, hey, this is my daughter, Kiki. This is my friend, Eric. Nice to meet you. That's what they're trained to say. And when they don't, I snatch them aside, and I go, hey, listen to me. When I introduce you to somebody, you make eye contact with them. You shake them, and you shake their hand, not with a dead fish in your hand. You shake their hand firm. You give it a squeeze, and you look them in the eye. Another example of a recent spanking, one, again, is violence against somebody. Now, here's what the world will say to you. Oh, so you teach them how not to be violent by being violent to them? That's right. That's exactly what you do. You're supposed to be the authority. Even the Lord Jesus had authority over him. He was subject to the Father. He said in the book of John over and over again, I have not come to do the will of my own, but the will of him who sent me. I have been sent for a purpose. Over and over, he used the word sent, 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 letting us know that he, even though he was equal to God, chose to be underneath the Father. So too, we teach our children that. So too, wives are subject to their husbands in this like manner, which we learned a few weeks ago. She's not less than me, but her performance, her job appointed performance is below me. Doesn't mean she's not smart as me. Doesn't mean that God loves me more. Quite the contrary, giving her the ability to be more like Christ than I ever could imagine to be. And believe me, she is. I don't need your help. Come on.
I just want to jump in on that. That is so important, parents. And we see such a lack of this today in our society. And we see it play out for kids as they grow up and have to, you know, work and live and go to school in the real world. We need to teach our kids to be respectful and under submission to the authorities, like the word says, and adults that are around them. It's so, so important to set them up for that principle with the Lord, like Ryan's saying, with their spouse, and with all the people that God puts around them that are in authority over them. We see so much of a lack of this, and it really does affect your kids when you don't teach them that principle. It's so, so crucial. You know, teach your kids when an adult speaks to them that they are to answer back, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, stop everything they're doing and listen to what they're being told and be respectful to everyone in authority around them. And like Ryan says, it's secondarily a good reflection on you and on ultimately on Christ, that they can be set under authority and know their place and be respectful to the adults around them. It's huge. It's why you see kids.
You will be identified your life by how disobedient or obedient your children are. Believe that.
Yeah.
And we've had this in church happen, right? We've had people who say, man, you know, this person, this family, this woman, her kids are so misbehaved. I want to help her. I want to talk to her, but I don't want. And I cannot tell you, it's been multiple families that have left the church because somebody says, and they say to me, listen, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed, the Bible says. You go to them and you tell them. What if I don't want to create no hassle, no drama in the church? Listen, let the drama come.
Yeah.
In that case, let the drama come. Listen, we've had multiple families leave the church because they either said something to a family who didn't receive it, or that family got so offended, they separated from them because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it also teaches your kids to be humble, to be set under authority that God has surrounded them with, that God has put in place. And if they don't do that, if you don't teach them that, and that sense of pride wells up in their heart where they can't surrender or submit to anybody around them, what you see when kids, to take it to the furthest degree, those kids end up in prison. They end up with that attitude. Nobody's going to tell me anything. And their detriment. It really is.
Some years ago, we had a family in the church. And good people, loving, love the Lord, but they were terrible parents. They never said no to their kid. Never. Now, this kid thought it was great to go from a yard to yard and steal people's stuff out of the yard, which was really funny when the kid was 8, 9, 10 years old. But now the kid's 14, 15 years old, and he's stealing bicycles. So at 14 and a half, almost 15 years old, the kid gets caught stealing a bicycle. The cops are arresting him outside the front of his house. And he's yelling at his mom, yo, dog, they taking me away. Yo, dog, they taking me away. And the cop has got the kid, his face mashed on the car, and he's saying, did you just call your mother dog? And they call me up. What do I do? What do I do? Like, it's really not what you do at this point. It's what you did. Or should I say what you didn't do.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that their kids are the bad ones. And most of the time, here's where this works, you know? It's not that the husband or the wife is not a good parent. They don't know what to do. Listen what I tell you. This ain't no easy task. It's not like, oh, okay, I'll just get right on that. No, it takes work. It takes help. It takes family. Mm-hmm. It takes, please instruct me. Mm-hmm. Tell me how to do this. If my kid does this, if my kid does that, let me know. And you're going to have to swallow your pride. And when your kid drops down on the floor and starts throwing a fit, kicking and screaming his legs in the grocery store, you're going to have, you know what? You're going to have to leave your cart there. You have to say, listen, I'm telling you now, get up. Correction coming. One, two, mm-hmm. three. Now, here's what you got to do. You got to leave your cart there. You got to pack up your kids. You got to either go to the bathroom or go to the car. Get the car spoon out. Yes, yep. You should have spoons
car
everywhere.
Spoon.
And you got to sting. Spoon. And you got to sting that kid's butt. Okay, are you ready to be? You might have to walk out. You might not be able to go back and get there. It's hard.
Car
it's
spoon.
Especially when you have multiple children. Yep. And don't think we're going to talk about that. How they divide and conquer, y'all. They yes. know exactly when to start up on your business too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Consistency is crucial.
Crucial.
And it takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes effort, and it takes disruption to your day, to your life, to what you're doing. But it's an investment in your children, and it is valuable, and it pays dividends. You have to be consistent with your children. Say what you mean what you say, and follow through.
Now, if you're one of those folks that are here that are like, listen, I hear what you're saying, but I don't spank my kids. I was spanked as a kid, and I'm telling you, it don't work. I will not ever spank my kid. Listen to me. Please let me reiterate this. Spanking the way you think is spanking is not spanking. That's abuse. That's misuse of your child. That's violence. This is not what we're talking about. I have a woman in my office, and we were talking about her kids, which were misbehaved, her and her husband there, and she was saying that, I don't spank my kids. My mother spanked me. And then the kid was sitting there while we were having this meeting, and he kept getting, I want the phone. I want the phone. And I seen her blood start to boil. Stop it! Cut it out! Be quiet! Like, you understand that if you would have just spanked a kid 15 minutes ago, a good, godly, loving spanking, you wouldn't have to let yourself get angry and teach that kid that your blood boils and then it pops?
Yes.
Don't you understand that?
That's...
And
yes.
We'll build, and that's exactly where we're going from here. So now we shift to that stage. Watch now. Watch how this happens. And this is no smooth transition. Training and admonition. Now, what's the difference? Today, we're going, and that, believe it or not, is an introduction. Admonition is the verbal. Training, spanking, admonition is the verbal. Now, watch this. I wrote this stuff down because I knew I wouldn't get it out right. You have to move from deed to word when your kid goes 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that area. Well, Ryan, you're being vague. When? I don't know, for you. You know, for one of my children, it was 16, 17, and I was still beating her. For some of my children...
Huh? Stop using that verb. Stop saying beat. He's from New York. He's from New York. I'm sorry. We don't beat our children. We don't. We lovingly spank them.
Listen, if you've never said to your kid, if you put your hand in that plate one more time, I'm going to stab you in the neck with this knife. If you've never said that to your child,
you're not from New York.
We say that all the time. Look at my neck. My father never stabbed me in the neck. I'm whole, you know? But that's the way we talk, so sorry.
All in love.
Right. You must change how you talk to them. You must give them respect as an independent and autonomous individual. Talk is what raising a teen is all about. It's about the balance between respecting them and them disrespecting you. And it's a fine line, and it's easily crossed. We use harsher words on little kids because it's a shortcut not to spanking, and we hope it'll work better. And we don't realize we're being snotty or curt or even aggressive, and it teaches them the same type of verbiage that they will use, and worse, when we try to do the same thing on them when they are older in the teenage years, and it embarrasses them, they will grow to resent us. And it perpetuates the whole, I'm going to talk to you the same way you talk to me mentality. And again, it's a fine line, because you can't treat them like your buddy, because they're not. They're your child. And even though they think that they know everything, they don't. And they want to learn, but they learn sideways at this point. They learn from the hearing of things that sound good and only in their periphery and not full frontal. Teenagers don't learn from here anymore. They only learn from here. Wow, one time I watched my friend's mother say something, and I wish my father and mother would talk like that to me. Stupid, don't do that. Don't listen. I know your friends want to grow up and drink beer. Don't drink beer. It's going to lead you to bad places. Not going to hear it. But they see one of their friends stinking drunk in the street, vomiting their guts up, or getting arrested for DUI at 15, 16, 17 years old. And here's what they tell themselves. Well, that's what they did. That's not what I'm going to do. I could drink and I can control it. Their cortex frontal lobe is not fully mature, and they are irrational, emotionally, and completely illogical. Cap that with teenage angst, an over-sexualized society, peer pressure to do what's wrong daily, and all the mistakes we make, our shortcomings, not to mention the way we grew up, and they know it, because we bragged about it. They've listened to us tell, oh, when I was young, I used to, and I did this, and here's my conquers, and here's my thing, and now we're going to sit there and tell them, cut it out, you! That's what they're going to do. Yeah, right. Okay. Keep talking. Keep talking. So there's some point in time, there's this line. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to be honest. I've been thinking a lot about this for the last week. It really should start as a child. The kinder and gentler you talk to them, even if it's not your culture, even if it's not your way, then your transition from 10, 11, 12 to that teenage years where it's the same. And like you guys weren't here last week, I talked to you about the first time I went to spank my son or correct my son, and he kind of like, you know, got bowed up on me. A little stiff, you know, a little strong. And I was like, there's that time where with my house, and my father said to me, oh boy, anytime you feel like it, you just put them hands, I will show you what your daddy used to do. And I swore to myself, I'll never have that relationship with my son. So I remember being 17 years old, moving back in with my parents because I had no place to go. Came home drunk. Like, who are you going to tell me not to be drunk? My parents were doing coke and Quaaludes and smoking herb every. You're going to tell me not to get drunk? I F you, and I threw a punch at him. That boy slipped that punch, hit me with a three-piece and a biscuit. Oh, man. Threw me in the bathtub, ran that water down on me. That's a left hand. And I was like, you know, and that was all my friends' experience. I mean, just real quick, how many of you guys had that same experience? A few of us, you know? And it's like, I promised myself I never wanted that type of relationship, never. So when my son did that, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and he kind of pulled away, and I was like, listen, you can talk to your daddy like that now. You're a big boy. I'm going to let you get away with it. But I'm never, ever going to, we're never going to get physical, me and you. You don't want this kind of instruction anymore? I'm never, ever going to have that relationship with you. So here's what I'm going to say to you, though. Shame on you, boy, that you would talk to your daddy that way. And that's where it ended. That was it. I never, ever said, really? You want to be a tough guy with me, Jack? Never. Never. I never wanted that for my relationship. You fathers here, does this sound some sense here? If you try to beat love down into them the same way you do a toddler, believe me, they will hate you. Heck, they may even hate you anyway. And the best shot you got of them hearing you and listening and maybe even learning is loving, gentle words and tones, lifting them up in words and not embarrassing them in front of people. They will shut down, ignore you, rebel, and worse than all that, they'll turn out just like you. and learned everything the hard way. Now, I'm going to tell you that my kids are here. And they could sit there, and right now, I guarantee you their hearts saying like, oh, yeah, Dad, I wish you'd have took your own advice. Me too. And the only thing I can do now is give them instruction for their children. I wish I'd have listened earlier. I wish I'd have known this stuff. But me and my wife made so many mistakes, and I don't want that to be for you guys. Did you add anything?
Yeah, I just agree completely with what my husband's sharing. And, you know, that's why we really do need to start when the Bible says at our knee. Because it's much harder to start when they're teenagers. But teenagers are different than little ones. And we always believed, we didn't shelter our kids, even though they were homeschooled and you pastor's kids, you think they were very sheltered. We didn't believe in sheltering our kids. We equipped them. We explained to them, this is why we choose to do this way. This is why we choose not to do this. And we did that by teaching them the word and explaining them all to them. So they understood. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give an account for your faith. So that when they went out into the world, when they were in different environments, they knew what to expect. Ryan, one time, it almost killed me. When they were, 9, 10, they started hearing curse words, you know, with kids in the neighborhood. He sat them down, and I had to leave the room. I'm just going to confess. He sat them down, and he went through every curse word, and he explained to them what it meant and why they were saying it and you know, all that, and then why we choose not to speak that way, and gave them, you know, the word of God. And so they were never caught off guard or unaware. I always felt like we equipped them. We taught them apologetics. You know, why do we believe what we believe? So when they went to college, they were, you know, we didn't keep our kids out of, even though they were homeschooled.
Public arena.
Yeah, they did public sports, you know, with our local communities. They went to public colleges, and we didn't shield them that way. We just equipped them. And I think that is huge. And we always communicated with our kids. We kept an open policy, an open door of communication. We let them know that we cared what they thought, what they were feeling, what they were going through, and that we were there ready to listen and have those conversations. It was never, we never disciplined or taught our kids with a yes, no. It was a why and a how. And yes, and by our own testimony, sharing our own lives and our own mistakes and the consequences, just being open and honest. You don't, you can never shield your kids. Don't ever fall for this lie by just keeping them closed from things and not telling them about them, just trying to keep it away from them. That doesn't work. The world is going to find them. The enemy is going to get them in those weak spots. And so I just say, especially at that age, just be open, be honest with your kids from a spiritual perspective. You know, teach them the whys. Why do we do this? Why does God not want us to, you know, do this or do that? Why does he tell us that? Well, you know, it's because he created our heart, you know, for one man, and he's trying to protect us. Just teaching them all the whys and hows of the word.
My grandfather on my mother's side died from alcoholism before I was born. My father and mother were drug addicts and died early because of their drug and alcohol use.
Yeah.
My uncles, many of them died. My friends. So when I tell my kids, listen, alcohol ain't for us. We went to a restaurant one time, Italian restaurant, and they had samples of the latest wine, and it was red wine. I don't know if any of you guys ever drank real Italian red wine. It's a perfect example to teach them. Here, this is what all the fuss is about. Taste that wine. I feel like my tongue's a sponge. Why would anybody, Daddy, I don't understand. I remember Elena, Daddy, I don't understand. Why would anybody drink that?
Yes.
Because it gets them drunk. But yep. It tastes so bad. That's why they put it in fancy bottles and fancy glasses. That's why they paint it fancy colors. It's so much easier. If you just take a ball peen hammer and smack yourself in the center of the forehead, boom, it's the same exact thing. Yep. And you get a headache later on and you feel stupid now. and you lose your inhibition.
Which the enemy loves. I remember when Elena, remember this Elena? She was, I think you were getting ready to graduate college, I believe. And she had never been, you know, to any kind of clubs or whatever they call them today. And she'd never drank any alcohol. And she's like, her friends, she had made some, I think, probably worldly friends in college. And she said, you know, I want to go and with them if that's okay. And I just want to see what's going on. What's all the fuss about and everything? And we trusted her. She was a very responsible young woman. She was in college at this point. So, you know, I think it was your 21st birthday, no? Yeah, it was her 21st birthday. So she did, and we trusted her to do that, and she went out. And I never forget, she came home, and she said, I don't get it. I don't know what all the fuss is about. It tastes disgusting. Everybody's acting so, like, crazy fools, you know. And, you know, you can't keep
you gotta
from
be drunk to have a good time in the club.
Yeah, yeah. It's just that balance of you're not going to keep them from it, so just prepare them for it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
So how do you keep them from it? Listen, let me give you the social media example. Me and my wife, we don't have social media. I don't have anything. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have an Instagram. I don't have any. I don't. It's just not for me. I'm just not interested in it. Now, I would suggest that for my kids, too. But am I going to tell my teenage kid? Am I going to tell my 20-something-year-old kid not to have that? The world is telling them everybody has it. All of their friends have it. That's how they socialize. That's how they communicate. Doggone it, that's how they do business nowadays. My business has a Facebook page because you can't even do business without a Facebook page anymore. How are you going to tell them no? Teenagers, listen to what I tell you now, guys. Listen, I wrote this down this morning. Teenagers must live in a meritocracy, not a socialist society built on the dreams that you want them to have. It is easier or better than you did. Listen to me. They live in a meritocracy. This is how you raise up your teenagers. If they earn it, you give it to them. If they don't, you don't. Not because other people. Listen. Not because, well, I want my kids to have it better than I had it. I want my kids to have it easier than I have it. Bad.
Parenting.
Every single kid that I knew and know, and they're adults now, that grew up as a trust fund baby, that were given something, their life is a bloody mess. I mean bad, if they're still alive. They must live with the knowledge that everything in life is earned by hard work and good behavior, not because they have it coming. Don't pay, give them a phone unless they earned it. Don't give them a game system without responsible outline on time and energy. They will use it. Don't let them have unfettered internet access without your control over it. Don't buy them a car without having taught them respectful defensive driving skills. And most importantly, a solid curfew and testing their limitations on keeping it. Do not fund your child's demise. Do not pay for your child. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's hard. And they know more about it. Listen, Shanani, we got Cammie a phone. Cammie has this little bit of propensity to get anxious. Now, all of my kids know you don't get a phone till you're 16 years old. That's the way it works in our house. You get 16. My son, though, he was driving to the gym on his bicycle, which is about 3 miles away. So he was 12 years old, and I got him a flip phone. Any problems, you just call me. Cammie, we had to get her, and Brian helped me get one of these iPhone 6s, one of the old ones. And Elena's like, Daddy, you don't understand that. They have a, well, do something with it. So she disconnected the apps, disconnected the internet, just, you know, and they still find a way. And you can't at any point in time go, I can't keep up with. Bye-bye. Over. Listen, let me tell you something. When one of my little babies was 5 years old, I caught her looking at naked pictures on a phone. And I was like, Where did you get this? It's grandma's phone. It's grandma's phone. And she wanted to look up pictures of pussycats. Mm-hmm. Am I being graphic? I'm sorry. I'm not. I have a five-year-old. Look at it. And I had a mom. You can't do this. I don't know the internet. Well, she does.
Not even intentionally.
You understand? Guys, It's over after that. It's over. Pandora's box open.
Yes, you can't unsee that in their little hearts and minds. So much with the internet, we could be here all day with the internet and the dangers and the way we need to protect and safeguard our kids. We could be here all day. I mean, and I know like a lot of the young kids, I just want to throw that out there because my girls have been very concerned about this for your young kids. They seem like we let the kids have the Instagram. Like it's not Facebook, it's just Instagram. They're just putting little blurbs, pictures. It seems so harmless. And I didn't even realize this, but my daughters made me aware that, you know how people do the hashtags at the bottom of everything, hashtag this, hashtag that. If you touch a hashtag, it takes you all over the place. And Instagram.
If your kid has an Instagram page, they've watched porn.
Yes. Instagram is
not a maybe,
full.
Not a possible. If your kid has an Instagram account, they've watched porn.
I hate to tell you that, but it's true. I mean, and the kids today, you know, the teenagers and stuff, it's cool to post pictures of themselves, you know, that are basically pornographic. I mean, showing everything. And it's just all in there. And there's just so many ways our kids, like Ryan said, one of our little ones, just his mom had inadvertently, not intentionally, but just like they would, it was like cool to her to say something and look up the information, you know, jaguars. Oh, look, jaguars live and da 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 da. And she had taught her
cougars.
That.
Cougars.
And she walked away with the phone and she said kitty cat or whatever it was. And all of a sudden we walk by and she's literally, there's pornographic pictures and my little five-year-old is taking that in. It's horrifying. I mean, I can't say enough about watching your kids, where they can go, putting parental controls, limiting the internet, the games. Oh my
when
gosh.
When Josiah was
games.
Probably 10 or 11 years old, we took him to GameStop and we bought one of these used little game things. And I forget, one of my friends told me, you better look at the pictures that are on it. I looked at the pictures on it and it was all these graphic homosexual images on it. And I wanted to go back to that GameStop and snatch that guy from behind the counter and bust his. I mean, that's just.
I hate the games.
But listen to me, you can't tell them no, but what you have to do is be smarter, be sharper, and put
limits.
Out these limitations. Now, you guys right now, you're like, what you're saying is difficult. No, it's darn near impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You got to do these things. I don't want to camp out there too long because, again, like Joy said, we can be there forever. Go ahead.
I just want to say one last thing. This is an alarming thing. I was just sharing this last night with some couples. I just want you guys to make sure you're aware of this. That all the big wigs and the top executives at these big tech companies that have created all this media and the internet and Facebook for our kids and for us as a society, with all those hooks pulling everyone back in and the addictiveness to it, I want you to know that their kids, this came out an expose, a big expose, and all these tech guys, these big wig tech guys, their kids do not have internet. Their kids do not have a Facebook. Their kids do
they
not
talk
have
to, it was on
computers.
Tucker Carlson. They talked to like a dozen of the board members on Facebook.
Yep.
10 of them won't let their kids on Facebook.
No, and they all go to, in Silicon Valley, they have these private schools that they send all their kids to, and guess what? They don't even have computers
no
in the
computers.
Schools. It's all book-based.
But
they
in
know
your
the
public
danger.
School, believe me, they have one of their computers in every single one.
But they're addicting your kids and you to it. Porn in public school.
You're allowed in the public forum. In the public forum, you can go to a library and watch pornography. You can go, you can, this is legal. Listen, learn to say goodbye. Learn to say no. Mm-hmm. And learn to say I love you. and I cannot do that for you. It would make me a bad parent. And most importantly, get on the same page with your spouse immediately. Talk about it, get together. If you let teenagers divide and conquer you, they're halfway to hell and destruction, especially in the blended or divorced families. Of course they're going to try everything. Of course they're going to lay a guilt trip on both of you. Of course they're going to play the ends against the middle to get what they want. Divorced families of teenagers will do the same thing every single time. Listen, this is how this works. Watch. We've done this. We've been this as a pastor, a senior pastor for 15 years, as a minister for more than 20 years now. Parents get divorced. The one parent that the kid goes with, they're there usually 4-5 years. Until they become teenagers, they don't like the rules. Oh, if you don't let me, I'm going to go live with daddy. I'm going to go live with mommy. As a parent, that's when you say, that's a decision you have to make. But in this house, you're going to come home at 11 o'clock. You're going not to be on the internet all night. You're going to hand your phone in. You're not going to hang out with that kid. You're not going to. And if you do that, here's what happens. Again, 99% of the time, I'm telling you, I've seen this work out hundreds of times. They leave that parent. They go to live with the other parent. And it's less than a year that they find out the grass ain't greener over there. And then they go back to the original parent. Or, and this is the last thing, they realize the parent that gave them the rules is the parent that loved them. And the parent that let them do whatever they wanted, they learn to resent and hate them. But I'm telling you, 99% of the time, the kid that gets the parent that's the strictest one, that is the one that usually gets the custody. They leave that parent right around teenage years, 14, 15. They go to live with the other parent and find out this ain't no better. And then they go back to that parent. It happens virtually every time. Lastly, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Telling your teenager no in a manner that they can receive it is paramount to them receiving it. Guys, please, I'm not trying to condescend to you. I'm not trying to tell you this is easy or get... It's not. But you got to ask for help. Never quit. Remember, if you quit, you're quitting on your kid. You're quitting on your kid.
Yeah.
Proverbs 30 and 17. This is for you teenagers here. I love this verse. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it.
Make that into a game.
Sorry, guys. Proverbs 10:5. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame.
Oh, man.
Make them work for it. They have to work for it. Meritocracy, not socialism. Meritocracy. You can have that if you'll do this. You have a cell phone when you could pay for it. When I used to tell my son his whole life, when men are working, you never sit down.
Yes. Same for girls. Same for women.
10:5. Proverbs
10:5. I teach my
10:5.
Girls that. That's a great...
when men are working,
yeah.
You don't sit down. Yes. Yeah. Never.
I've taught my daughters the same thing. When women are working, you're working. You're helping. You're not sitting down. Teach them to serve, to be a servant, to never be sitting waiting to be served. They should be always actively involved in serving, helping. How can they be a part? How can they help? That's a very important character trait to teach your children. Yeah.
Proverbs 19:26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Now, that's for them, but you know what's for us parents? Don't cause them to hate you and mistreat you. And the way you cause them to do that is by admonishment the wrong way. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. How do you provoke your children to wrath? What's wrath? This is the wrath of God this is talking about. Do not lead your children to hell. How do you not lead them to hell? By bringing them up with training and admonition. Good words. No, buddy, that would not please the Lord. Come on. I'll help you do it. Son, you don't talk to me like a daughter. That is not an appropriate dress, and I'm sorry. I love you, and I do not want men looking at you like that when you ask. Did an adult just tell you to do something? You will now get up, and you will respectfully apologize to that adult for being disobedient and disrespectful. And if you choose not to, you will receive a correction. This is hard, man. And again, the line is fine. I'm not giving you these. Proverbs 15:5, and this is the last one. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Honey, do you want to?
Yeah. I have a verse I wanted to share. This verse has always been really important to me. It's stood out so much to me because it's an actual verse where the Lord himself is describing himself and his character and how he feels about us and interacts with us. And so it's the Lord saying of himself, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And that verse has always stood out to me. And I think if that's how God deals with me, if that's my example, you know, of how I should deal with my children, am I being loving? Am I being compassionate? Am I being forgiving? You know, am I being long-suffering like the Lord is to me? And that ultimately is what reaches your children. We always used to say, you know, rules without relationship is tyranny. You have to be in the act of loving your children, of all these, you know, pieces of wisdom we're giving you and how to train them. Of course, at the foundation of that has to be a relationship built on love, respect, care, kindness, and them knowing that you're invested in them. You're behind them. You're their biggest fan. You're always going to be there for them. You believe in them. And that's the foundation. I'm a mom, and that's all I've done my whole life is a stay-at-home mom, a homeschool mom. I've just been with my kids.
She's not done it her whole life. She used to be the breadwinner of the family.
Well, for a couple of years, but pretty much a long time. And I would have people stop me whenever we were out. I'd take the kids out for lunch.
While I was chasing my dream, she was working her butt off.
Yeah, with my babies. And I remember, never forget when my kids were young, we would be out and about, and people would stop and come over and say to me, man, it's so good to see somebody enjoying their kids, loving their kids. You look like you're having such a good time with your kids. And I would just smile and say, I am. I love my kids. I enjoy my kids.
And I'd say, go get your own wife. Get away from that.
But I did. I enjoy my kids. I love them. We rely on each other.
Not
We're a
burden
team.
Or a problem.
They're not ever a burden to me. They delight me. I am delighted by them. And when you start with that heart toward your kids and build from there, and they know you care about them, you're invested in them, and everything you're doing is for their good, like God with us, you will have, like us, written a good book with children who all love the Lord and are walking with him. And that's been our experience. And we hope and pray that that will be yours too.
And lastly, here's the argument. I cannot tell you how many people come up to me and they tell me, well, you teach your kids without grace and they will grow up not giving grace. And I retort to them always, like I've got, and this is mostly, and sad to say, and I understand it, it's mostly single parents. And they always want to argue and tell me why they can't. And that's why it's so important to stay together. If you're in a relationship with somebody and things aren't going good, as long as we're not talking about abusive things or especially, you know, sexual, physical, or even cheating, you have to stick it in. You have to stick it out. Stick it out. For your kids' sake, stick it out. Because once you divide and now there's only one parent trying to do something that is meant for two parents, the one parent is always going to find a way to... Single mom comes up to me last week and she said, I teach my kids about grace. I teach them how to love. And in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, that's why your kids are animals in this place. They run around like lunatics, smashing things, throwing things. and in my head, I would never say that, you know, to their face. I don't want to hurt their feelings. We've offered that person. They're not a regular. They don't go to church regularly. But the point is, they you can't. I said it this way. Warren Wiersbe said this. You can't break the rules until the rules have first broken you. First, you teach them the law. And me and my wife have gotten to many arguments. Oh, you're too harsh on them, you're too harsh on them. Listen, I know it's your kind, compassionate heart here, baby. You have the heart of a graceful, loving woman. But this child does not need more grace. This child needs more law. We must teach this child, because it's only going to be a couple of years and they're going to be out of this house and the world ain't going to be as nice to them as we are. What's most important for teenagers is to be around people that hate them. Because when teenagers are around people that love them too much, they use their love as a weapon. It's almost like, and here's the visual, right? It's like they pick up a knife and they go, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to stab myself in the hand. Okay, here. And we give them whatever they want so they don't hurt themselves, because their mentality is, if I'm hurt, I'm hurting them. And we have to, in love, teach them, you want to hurt yourself, stupid? Go ahead. Even if that kills you to see your kid doing that. And it does, especially moms. They don't want, oh, no, don't let them. Let them fall. Keelan wants to ride her bicycle. Keelan's this big. She wants to drive her bicycle. Go ahead. You're going to fall and get hurt. Oh, but it's okay. Yeah, honey, you can't let her do that. She's not driving in the street, in the highway, baby. She's driving in the grass. She's going to fall. She's going to get a grass. You know, you put the parameter. Do you understand the mental pictures I'm painting for you?
Natural consequences are huge teachers.
You cannot bubble wrap them.
Let them experience the consequences of
teenagers,
their actions.
Teenagers, loving, kind, gentle words, and no one to wash your hand. If they want to hurt themselves and hurting you, let them. Anyway, does anybody have any questions or comments before we close in prayer? Because I know this is one of those toughies. John, would you add anything to this, being the father of four beautiful kids?
Always. It,
great point. We didn't know. They tricked us, man. They tricked us.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
And what he said there that was so important is you're always learning.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's the way my father did it. That's the way I'm going to do it.
No. Learn.
You see what he said? What did he do? The internet. Did this thing just die?
Yeah. Here.
The internet, they lied to us. They told us it was one thing, it was another. It's like... You guys remember when they first came out with CDs and they told us they were indestructible? They lie.
Yes. Yeah.
They lied to us. And the internet's a big lie. Anybody else? Any other parents here would... I just want to go on record as saying, when I'm up here alone, nobody gives me a hand.
I just want to just confirm what John just said, and that is so true. And we need to have grace on ourselves. We are human, and we don't. This is all new frontier. I always say that the kids all owe Elena a debt, because she was our first one to go through every season, and we made a lot of mistakes with her. And like John said, you learn with each child. God is gracious with us as parents, as long as we keep seeking and learning and looking for that wisdom. You know, God's grace covers a lot.
So don't ever just, you know, let that defeat you, that, you know, you made this mistake or that mistake. You just keep learning, you keep growing, and let your kids see you, you know, in that, you know, process. That's all of us, and it's okay. Be willing to apologize to your kids. You know, hey, I'm sorry, I did that wrong. I made a mistake there, but this is what we're going to do now. You know, God showed me, and so we're going to change that now. There's nothing wrong with that. It's so important for your kids to see your vulnerability, to see you make mistakes, and how you handle it. You know, that's another way you're teaching them, you know.
We're here if you have any questions. Julia?
Not to beat up about the internet stuff. It's really not the internet, but I mean, the kids now, you have to even really be cognizant of what books they bring home.
Yes.
Anime.
Oh, yes.
You know, they're old. I unfortunately found out the hard way from a stepdaughter of mine. These Japanese books, they read backwards. You can look through the book, but in the middle, it was pornographic images that
yeah.
they were doing. And
yep.
So there's more than just the internet that they are attacking these kids on.
Oh, yeah. The enemy hates you. He hates your family. He hates your kids. Don't think that for a second. It's, you know, the...
Yeah, there shouldn't be anything they're looking
Elena
at.
Elena came home with pornography one time from college. I called the college up. She was at FAU, and she said, Daddy, look at this trash they asked me to read. And it was about some guy, some woman giving this guy some, So I called up the school. I was like, what is this crap you got my kid reading? And you know what that guy's question to me was? First of all, it took me a month to get him on the phone. He says, you send your child to a Christian school if you want. I will never talk to you again. Click.
And she had to fight that fight, which she did and won.
They won't talk to you.
She fought.
You pay for it. They don't care.
She stood on her own convictions and fought that fight and won that because she knows what she believes and why she believes it and why she's guarding her own heart. And what Julia said is true. It's not just the internet, although that's a big one. It's anything your kids are touching, you should have your eyes on. I know it's a lot. I know we're exhausted and all of that, but... but you got to be in it. My daughter goes to a Christian school. My two little ones, I don't homeschool them. And they have a reading club, and they have to read books and pick books from the school library. And my kids know we don't do magic. I don't care what form it is. That's just my rule, and it just stops a lot of things. And there's a lot of magic. And she had a book, and they will start policing each other and themselves. And my other daughter saw on the cover witches and all this, and she said, Mommy, look at her book. You know, they know, they will learn themselves. And sure enough, it was just full of sorcery and magic. And I had her take it back to her teacher and say, you know,
if that's a struggle for any of you guys, there's a really good book. It's called 14 Things Witches Don't Want You to Know. You can find it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's really good, and it shows you where the... As they say, the ghost in the machine is.
Yep.
But we've kept you guys a long time. Thank you for bearing with us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the wisdom of your word. We thank you so much for brothers and sisters. And I pray that this wisdom wells up to life-changing, forever knowledge, God.
Yes,
we love you. We thank you for our babies, God. And we just want to raise them right in training and admonition of all that your word has for them, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.